Hey Jason, it's Anthony calling from my desk, believe it or not. So hopefully this sounds all right. Just calling in with a note of support and thanks for the enjoyment delivered in well, a lot of your podcasts recently, but specifically the Premature Imagination duet you did with Carl. I really enjoyed that one. It was very nice to hear the topic, addressed and by people who are not me and looked at from different sides and with all the call-ins. That was a real treat and very interesting and made the miles by fly by faster. But also the recent call-in with Daniel, in defense of Call of Cthulhu. That was really great that he to hear everything that happened going through from call to call. So thanks for that.
Well, pop yourself a beer or a cold libation. Let me tell you how I wrote this little theme. I went and took a call from brother Jason, and he tells me that he has a little dream. He says he needs a backwards intro to begin his podcast, and I ask him, what you got? He said, I'll start off with some talking and some moody clips of popcorn fighting fantasy explorations and some groundless exploitation. Kickstarts that I'm watching and some blind unboxings. Full month horror movie marathon. Sometimes I let the dogs come on. Contests and of course you know it's all about games. I said, slow down, let's just start with the name. It's the Nerds with the other Jason.
Okay, folks, Daniel Norton of the Bandits Keep Media Empire is back with me to talk Conan. I know Daniel's a big fan of the Robert E. Howard works and the sword and sorcery genre.
Oh,
So
yeah.
we were talking, and I told him about this call that you're about to hear, and he said he'd love to come on my show and talk about it. So I thought, why not? It's always good. I always prefer podcasts where you have back and forth and discussion instead of just one person talking. So thank you for coming on and doing this with me,
For
Daniel.
sure. That's true. I actually like the back and forth as well. It's fun talking with you. I never have anybody on my show. I probably should have people on.
Yeah,
Maybe
well,
I'll do that.
it's because you're trying to make your show all about the rules.
Yeah, that's true. And nobody wants to talk about the friends.
But yeah, okay. So
I'm
I'm gonna
messed.
so this all started with a call from Joe Richter of Hindsightless. So I'm gonna play that initial call, and then we'll get into it.
Yo, dude, so here's another question for you. I've heard you talk a bunch about how you don't like it when new authors write in other people's universes. So you sounded really excited that there was a new guy going to be line editor for all the Howard products, but do you really like that? It seems like you would hate that. It seems like you have said that you don't want people writing more stuff. You don't want anyone writing more Lord of the Rings or any of that stuff. So why more Conan? I don't know. And also,
Okay, I'm going to cut him off here to answer that question because that came up when he talked about this new Tolkien compilations coming out for the Second Age. To me
no,
personally,
I are
I
you not okay? Well, so you're not. I'm behind. So you're not liking the fact they're redoing the.
I don't
I
care
guess
if
you're
they
going to answer that
do.
now.
Yeah, I'm not personally. I like to read the books in the like if I go back to read an author, I'm going to read things in the publication order. I don't worry about the supposed chronological order. Like if I go back and although and Moorcock's a horrible example, but just because the way he was published, but I would try to read his book in chronological order. And same thing with Conan. I'm not, and when I say chronological, I mean the order they were published as opposed to the order like Conan stories jump back and forth in, his life. But I'm not going to try to read them from young Conan to King Conan. I'm going to read them in the order of publish.
Oh, that's interesting because that I guess I'm actually technically reading them in the order that you don't like it because I have the Ace paperbacks. I think they are the ones that they reorganized them and added the little in-betweens. Like
Right.
for 3 years, Conan walked around the desert and ate tacos, and now he's over here. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I like to see it as it was originally presented by the author to the public, and which there's nothing wrong with either way. I'm not putting it down. That's just my preference. And by the same token, because there's so much out there to absorb, and I know I'm losing out here, but I tend, like for Conan, I read the Robert E. Howard stuff. And I like some of the like the Roy Thomas Marvel comic, the original Marvel comic stuff from the 70s. but I haven't read. Oh, I've read a little bit of Sprague de Camp. I know I'm saying that wrong. But I haven't read any of the modern Conan stuff, to be honest. I just, you know, I'm not that interested in, you know, when an author died. Like after Mickey Splaine died, another guy picked up and wrote more Mike Hammer novels. I'm not interested in the new Mike Hammer novels. You know, I like Mickey Splaine's, but I'm not really interested in somebody else's take on his character. I'd rather read a different character. Right. And that's what I was saying there. But that doesn't. Okay. But
what about like the DeCamp stuff? Like at least in the books that I'm reading, they usually are like picking up fragments and finishing the stories as opposed to writing a brand new story. What do you think about that?
Yeah. And again, I'm not a huge fan, to be honest. There's nothing wrong with it. And some of those are trying to be great stories. But with a limited time to read, I would just assume, okay, these are all the Howard stories. Now I'm going to move on to, you know, a different author and doing something different, which I know is kind of limiting on my part. And one of these days, I probably should read everything. But
I just happened to pick them up, the Ace books or whatever I have, and that's why I started reading. So I'd never really.
Yeah. Because, and like you get like Lovecraft, you know, the Lovecraft stories are, you know, his mythos stories are interesting. I know he had opened up to other people. But when you move on to like Derleth and some of the others and they start adding in, oh, we have these other guys like nodes. And so, you know, we have good gods and bad, or not good, but, you know, better gods, right? Or, you know, different entities that want to help humankind. And this, you know, I'll just stick with Lovecraft. Thank you. You know what I mean?
That makes sense. Yeah.
But I'm not saying other people shouldn't enjoy those things. So the fact that there's a new line editor for Howard's stuff that's going to be pushing out, you know, he's going to be in charge of the new comics and the new novels and all for not only Conan, but Solomon Kane, Bram Moore, you know, all these characters, all these characters, I think is great. And it's exciting to have new stories come out for these. And just because I personally prefer to read the original author doesn't mean that I don't think these other products should come out. And I think people should check them out. You know, it's exciting to see what they do with them.
Well, yeah. And what's also interesting is if you take a character like Conan, for instance, that Howard wrote a lot of Conan, a lot, it's all relative, right? But maybe like 20 or 30 stories. Like he wrote a lot of Conan comparably. Wow. But like you look at like Brandon Mark Moore, right? Like there's only like one or two stories that he's not in a lot. Right. Even Cull, you know, he's basically switched him into Conan. There's only a handful of those. So those characters are actually kind of, in my opinion, almost more interesting because it's like, okay, so Howard or whoever the author is wrote a little bit about this character. Now somebody else is just picking it up, almost like they've got just like a little bit, right? But if you have somebody who has a real intense, deep history with lots and lots of books about them, it might be harder to get like, who's that? I'm so bad. Who's the elf, the dark elf that
Elric.
They call him? The guy with the swords is a ranger. He has a
cat. Drizzt or something like that.
Yeah, Drizzt. Right. Like, yeah. So this character is got a lot of stuff written about them, right? And that author, of course, is still alive. And if somebody else started writing about that character, it might be weird because there's so much. Like, why would you want to indulge in there? So I guess I could see that. But as characters that are less explored, I think it's kind of interesting I think it'd be less of an issue. I don't really have an issue with it at all, but it's actually kind of like, I hope this new line editor starts bringing some of the other characters out that Robert Howard wrote about that maybe we'll get more limelight, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. He was on a recent episode of Rogues in the House, which is a kind of sword and sorcery podcast. And he wants to bring
and the name
WoW
of
factor.
A Conan story.
Right. Well, that's where they get the name of the podcast from. And and he wants to bring the WoW factor back in and bring in more of the weird fiction back in. To, you know, because some authors have done Conan more realistic and realism, and he kind of wants to get back away from that and more into like Tower of the Elephant and things like that. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go with it.
I haven't read any of like the newer novels, if you've written like in the last, you know, since the 70s or whatever they redid those books. So I don't really know where they took Conan. I've read some of the comics, which are pretty good. Those original Savage Swords of Conan, the black and white ones. Mm-hmm. And also, Marvel had a recent run of Conan's that was pretty decent, and that actually was very much magic. It was a much more high magic world than I would have thought they would have done for Conan, but that was interesting.
Yeah, definitely. So, but to be fair, and I'm not attacking Joe here, but Joe has a sense of dramatic. So if you say something, he tends to take it to the extreme and ask you. So that, I think that's where that question came from. You broke up there.
Oh, Joe is very good at listening. Like, he's very specific. Like, you would use one word the wrong way. It's like, ha!
Right. Definitely.
Which is great. Yeah. They definitely get you thinking sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Joe's great.
But that's hindsightless, folks. Go listen to Joe's show. He's doing a show every day for RPG Day, which is kind of cool. I'm only doing once a week, but
I'm so far behind.
It's hard to, sometimes you get inundated and there's so much, but so we're going to get to the meat of the episode. Now I'm going to play the actual question that launched 1,000 calls. So here we go.
Also, is Conan a hero? Is he heroic? He's a badass for sure. He's a total stud. But is he a hero? I don't know about heroic, man. He does a lot of bad, bad things. And that's some food for thought. Anyway, peace out.
Okay, before I get Daniel's take, and then Daniel's going to listen to some other people's takes. We have takes from a number of callers because I reached out on a couple Discords and posted this and said, hey, why don't you send me your thoughts on if Conan's a hero? I had a couple people that posted but did not want to call in, so I'm going to read those posts. So I've got a couple comments from Discord, and these are actually from the Grog Talk Discord. I posted this a couple different Discords. So I'll just read these comments first, and then I'm going to hand it over to Daniel to give his thoughts. So the first one we have, and I don't know if these guys want their names mentioned or not, so I'm not going to mention the posters' names. The first one I have is, I'm almost halfway through the entire Howard anthology, including Solomon Kane. I'm going to have to lean towards not defending Howard's Conan, especially after just finishing The People of the Black Circle. And then another one said, Conan is not as bad as Cudgel the Clever, you know, Jack Vance. I would say Conan does good deeds because he helps himself or his code, which isn't a typical hero's code. The reason I would say he is still a hero is that more of the deeds that he does are good to some degree. He is hero-like. And then the final comment, he's an independent, brutish, swashbuckling sellsword, opportunistic, yet chivalric in his own way. Or chivalric, if I pronounce the word. So those were the comments that weren't called in as calls. So I'm going to let you take a crack at this. Is Conan a hero?
Yeah, I think that what's interesting is you can look at the whole scope of Conan. And again, I haven't read all of it, but I'm going to lean towards yes. And the reason why I would say that is because I don't think that a hero, and in fact, a hero that is like this is less interesting, needs to be perfect. And in the end, Conan does the right thing pretty much in every story I've read, oftentimes of something that he wanted. You know, he wanted to get the gem or whatever, but he killed the sorcerer, not because of great deed, but because he felt pity for the alien. We're talking Tower of the Elephant, right? Mm-hmm. He rescues the girl. Yeah. Because he wants to be with women or whatever, but also because she was being abused, you know, like he usually does what would be, in my mind, considered the right thing. Is he thinking of himself a lot? Sure, of course. I mean, who's not? But I think that a challenged hero or somebody who has to go out of their way, you know, doesn't necessarily want to do the right thing, but does it, is a hero. Unlike an anti-hero that just doesn't do the right thing because they're a jerk, right? Like, he's definitely not that. And he's not like a golden paladin that always does the right thing, which I think is boring. So I think I'd say I would put him more in the hero camp. Is some of the stuff a little questionable? I mean, yes, for sure. But I think that in the end, I'd put him, if you had to say hero or not hero, that I'd put him in the hero camp, and that for those reasons, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. I know anti-hero is a term we see bandied about these days a lot.
Yeah.
And I think anti-hero is kind of misused quite a bit these days, really. Because
probably.
You know, anti-hero is just like that. Like people call, Wolverine's an anti-hero or Deadpool's an anti-hero, but not really. An anti-hero should be kind of the opposite of a hero, right?
Yeah, right. They're heroic kind of as a side effect, like not like completely for themselves. Like Conan, if everything he did was about doing stuff for himself, he just happened to save people, that might be an anti-hero, right? But he doesn't. He loses a lot. I think people don't remember that when they. You know, they just have this idea of Conan, but if you actually look at the stories, at least the actual Howard stories and stuff and the ones in the novels, he's oftentimes losing and failing and dropping. And, you know, it's like he's not like he's constantly gaining stuff for himself by doing things. He usually ends up doing, again, the quote, the right thing, if you will, at his own expense. So I say that's a hero, you know?
Right. No, I'm with that. Okay. Yeah. So the first, actually, I don't have these labeled as good as I should. I believe this first set of calls is Taylor from Cleric Square Ringmail. We'll find out as soon as I press play.
I remember the dark woods, masking slopes of somber hills, the gray clouds' leaden everlasting arch, the dusky streams that flowed without a sound, and the lone winds that whispered down the passes. Vista on vista marching, hills on hills, slope beyond slope, each dark with sullen trees, our gaunt land lay. So when a man climbed up a rugged peak and gazed, his shaded eye saw but the endless vista, hill on hill, slope beyond slope, each hooded like its brothers. It was a gloomy land that seemed to hold all winds and clouds and dreams that shun the sun, with bare boughs rattling in the lonesome winds, and the dark woodlands brooding over all, not even lightened by the rare dim sun which made squat shadows out of men. They called it Cimmeria, land of darkness and deep night. It was so long ago and far away, I have forgot the very name men called me. The axe and flint-tipped spear are like a dream, and hunts and wars are shadows. I recall only the stillness of that somber land, the clouds that piled forever on the hills, the dimness of the everlasting woods, Cimmeria, land of darkness and the night. O soul of mine, born out of shadowed hills, to clouds and winds and ghosts that shun the sun, how many deaths shall serve to break at last this heritage which wraps me in the gray apparel of ghosts? I search my heart and find Cimmeria, land of darkness and the night. Robert E. Howard, 1932. Is Conan a hero? Well, what is a hero? It can be a mythical figure of incredible ability or divine lineage, like Hercules. It can be an illustrious warrior of exceptional prowess, like Beowulf, or one who is admired for their courage and achievement, say, Eisenhower. Alternatively, from a literary perspective, the hero is simply the principal character of the work. One could say that Captain Kirk was the hero of the original Star Trek, or Frodo is the hero of The Lord of the Rings. And lastly, a hero might be an object of an extreme devotion, such as, for the Anchor podcast community, perhaps Other Jason is a hero, serving as that inspiration for the rest of us. In that sense, is Conan each of these? Object of adoration is the easiest of these, despite being only a handful of short stories written over 3 years and published in an obscure pulp magazine. Conan has inspired generations of barbarian or warrior-themed fiction. Conan has inspired film after film, artwork after artwork, and to this day, still commands a following. Object of devotion, Conan is a hero. Principal character, one could argue Conan is the protagonist. The primary complaint about Conan is that he is a Gary Stu. He's good at everything, and the things he's not good at, he figures out a way out of or around. From a literary perspective, the books about Conan are about Conan, so in that sense, Conan absolutely is the hero. Lastly, the figure of great ability or illustrious warrior. Conan is portrayed over and over as toppling monsters or defeating adversaries in their droves. so he fits that characteristic too. Lastly, the object of admiration, one who is admired for their virtue or their courage, is Conan Eisenhower. For that, I will read a little bit more from The Phoenix on the Sword, the first appearance of Conan in the Howard catalog. When I overthrew the old dynasty, he continued, speaking with the easy familiarity which existed only between the Pontanian himself, it was easy enough, though it seemed bitter hard at the time. Looking back now over the wild path I followed, all these days of toil, intrigue, slaughter, and tribulation seem like a dream. I did not dream far enough, Prospero. When King Numidides lay dead at my feet, and I tore the crown from his gory head and set it on my own, I had reached the ultimate border of my dreams. I had prepared myself to take up the crown, not to hold it. In the old free days, all I wanted was a sharp sword and a straight path to my enemies. Now, no paths are straight, and my sword is useless. When I overthrew Numidides, then I was the liberator. Now, they spit at my shadow. They have put a statue of that swine in the temple of Mitra, and people go and wail before it, hailing as the holy effigy of a saintly monarch who was done death by a red-handed barbarian. When I led her armies to victory as a mercenary, Aquilonia overlooked the fact that I was a foreigner, but now she cannot forgive me. Now, in Mitra's temple, there come to burn incense to Numidides' memory, men whom his hangman maimed and blinded, men whose sons died in his dungeon, and whose wives and daughters were dragged into his seraglio, the fickle fools. Spoiler to follow. The Phoenix on the Sword is an assassination attempt. It is a plot by discontented nobles seeking greater power to overthrow the new king, Conan, who had overthrown himself, the old monarch. In Howard's work, civilization is used as a metaphor for all of the downfall of man, all of the negative of man. And barbarism, the absence of civilization and return to nature, is used to indicate an honesty and an openness. Conan is portrayed in the original Howard texts as, although not a paragon of virtue, instead honest, firm in his convictions. Something akin to Captain America. Recall the Civil War. Captain had to fight against the other Avengers because he was sticking to his beliefs. I have only read the original Howard. I have not read the fan fiction that has come after. Does he do naughty things in the fan fiction? Maybe, but Howard intentionally used him to try to portray a paragon of what humanity was and what we had fallen from in our embrace of the civilized world. Conan was designed to be a hero. Would I stat him as such? Of course not. Superhero. Fights as ape men, can detect invisible opponents, inspires fear when he charges. Simple as.
Okay. It's pretty good defense.
Yeah, Conan's definitely superior. You know, it's interesting. I mean, I don't want to, again, Conan does things in Howard stuff. I mean, Frost Giant's daughter, I'll just leave it at that. You know, I mean, there's he tries to anyways. I mean, he's not a good guy in that sense. But I think that's a pretty good breakdown. And I don't think he's wrong. I think Howard does seem to believe that way, that the return to nature is more of a purification than the city, if you will.
Right, the decay of civilization and the problems of civilization. Yeah.
Yeah, that seems to be a big theme in Conan. So, yes, I think that was pretty good, though. Always. I mean, I expect nothing less. The only disappointment there was no machine that he's on there.
We didn't hear his elliptical in the background.
That's elliptical,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. Okay, next up we have Joe Salvador, Raven God Games, who himself is, you know, a pretty big connoisseur of sword and sorcery. So I have not listened to all these defenses, by the way, so I'm hearing it for the first time as well. But I expect great things from you, Joe. Okay, now that there's no pressure, I'm going to play Joe's call.
Hey, Jason, it's Joe. Just calling in response to what I've heard. And what I've heard is that a certain fellow here on the Anchor Webs has challenged Conan's heroism. I brought it into question. So I'm here to discuss that and maybe sway him to Conan's heroic ideals, I guess. So I'm not going to argue that he's not an anti-hero, because I think he can be. And I don't think that you can't be an anti-hero and a regular hero, I guess, at the same time. Nor am I going to argue that he doesn't have questionable morals, because he does. So where are we going to start? Let's start at the definition of the hero. So from the Oxford English Language Dictionary, a hero is a person who is admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. So the first point, courage. I think everybody can agree that Conan's a courageous fellow. I think it basically goes without saying. He stands in the face of any danger, mortal or otherwise. And I think, one of the best examples comes from the God in the Bowl, when, every other human character in the story has fled or died. It is Conan who stands to face the horror at the end of the story. I think that's courageous. And that's just one example. And for the second qualifier of heroism, outstanding achievements. Also goes without saying that Conan has some pretty amazing achievements in his resume, right? He slays two frost giants, basically at the edge of reality. He, rescues all of the people, or helps to rescue all of the people of Konojahara from ravaging Picts. He wrests a great kingdom from the grip of a bloody-handed tyrant. These are pretty amazing achievements, I think. I think that all qualifies for the heroism of Conan. And it's just one example, a few examples, I should say. Right, so that brings us to the third qualifier of heroism, noble qualities. Now, like I said, I recognize that Conan is a thief, a pirate, a bandit, and a slayer. But that doesn't preclude him from having noble qualities. And one of the most common qualities that he has displayed in the stories, particularly definitely in The God in the Bowl and also in Queen of the Black Coast, Conan will not betray friends. He is extremely loyal until he is himself betrayed, right? Loyalty. Then on a grander scale, we really see his morality come to fruition, I think, in the King Conan stories. Phoenix on the Sword, The Scarlet Citadel, and Hour of the Dragon. In those stories, we see Conan's loyalty transferred to the entire kingdom. He protects religious freedoms. He protects even his lowest subjects from the maltreatment of nobles. And when his country is usurped in the Hour of the Dragon, he learns that a certain countess is going to be executed because she was loyal to him. And he decides that he is going to go and rescue her. He says, "I failed all of my other loyal subjects, it seems. If they take her head, they can have mine too." And he's, told that this is a crazy idea. And he says, "I may be a king without a kingdom, but I'm not a man without honor." And he proceeds to dress like Odin and ride to her rescue with gaining nothing. I think that's a heroic act there, and I think that's showing his noble qualities. Anyway, I hope that helps. Cheers, bud.
Okay. Pretty good defense.
Also very good, yeah. Yep. Using the dictionary is useful. But yeah, that last point was exactly what I was talking about. That was basically it. I mean, the idea that he often does things that are not, at the beginning, he's always like, "Well, I want this thing." But in the end, he does do the thing that is, whatever you want to call it, noble, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So next up, we have Ray Otis, the Plundergrounds podcast, who also does the coffee cup flip art for my show, which I really appreciate. And Ray is also, big into sword and sorcery and also science fiction, but the older books. He really likes to delve into the, the older pulp, stories, like the 60s and earlier. He's kind of a connoisseur of those older stories. So I'm curious to see Ray's take. So there we go.
Hi, this is Ray Otis from Plundergrounds, and Jason has asked me to defend Conan as a hero in 5 minutes or less. So I'm going to start with that basic essay, sort of junior high thing, where you go find the definition of a word and work from that outward. I think the third definition in here is irrelevant, and it's an animal acknowledged for its courageous acts, etc. So we'll ignore that one, and then from five down, it's kind of like about classical mythology. So we're going to work with definitions one, two, and four. The first one is a person noted for courageous acts or nobility of character. The second is a person who, in the opinion of others, has special achievements, abilities, or personal qualities and is regarded as a role model or ideal. And the fourth is the principal male character in a story, play, film, etc. I think it's interesting that they threw the word male in there. But by that definition, by definition four, the principal male character in a story, play, or film, you have to agree that Conan is a hero. But let's get to definitions one and two, which are maybe a little more primal. A person, I'm going to take the first half of both of those, first of all. A person noted for courageous acts. Yeah, I think Conan clearly is a person noted for courageous acts. If by courageous you mean somebody who's willing to lay their life on the line to achieve a goal, then clearly he does that. The first half of the second definition is the person who, in the opinion of others, has special achievements, abilities, or personal qualities. I emphasize the opinion of others because that's relative to the second half of the definition. But the first half is objectively true. He has special achievements, abilities, or personal qualities, right? Special doesn't necessarily mean good, right? So let's get to the last half of those definitions. So if we're going to shorten them, the first definition boils down to a person noted for nobility of character. And the second one is a person who, in the opinion of others, is a role model or ideal. The second one, we can, I think, agree that in the opinion of some, Conan is a hero, and therefore he fits this definition. In the opinion of others, maybe that's more like a poll, like if we went out and took a vote and enough people said Conan was a hero, he'd be a hero. I don't know exactly what that means, but certainly some people have the opinion that Conan is a hero, is heroic, and some of them would even consider him a role model or an ideal specimen, right? How a man should be, or how a person should be, how what a hero should be. He is heroic, I think, in this sense, in that regard, which is he's a person independent of any religious or governmental edict or telling him how his life should go, what he should do. He has developed his own code. He's a person who lives by a code. In fact, he scoffs at the idea of a god that he has to appease, right? Crom isn't that kind of god. And his worldview about what he should do as a human being on Earth, and he lives by that and is pretty unwavering from it. So I think he's heroic in that sense. So if you agree with his worldview, then you see him as a hero. If you disagree with his worldview, then you probably don't see him as a hero. And this is where I think we get into this nobility of character thing. Certainly, he is what we call the noble savage, an example of the noble savage in romantic fiction. And so there is a certain nobility to him. He does good things, whether he intends to do good things or not. I think that's aside from the fact. He is violent. He's very violent, but he's not unnecessarily violent in most cases. His violence is born out of necessity. Now, he doesn't make a lot of qualms about that. If he needs money, he's not going to be Robin Hood and take from the rich, right? He's certainly not going to give to the poor. He's just going to take. And he believes that to the strong go the spoils, basically. And so he is expansionistic. He believes in conquering. He believes in taking. And that makes him feel unheroic to many of us. And But I don't know that that disqualifies him as a hero. So in the end, I would say it's obviously a little bit subjective, but by most definitions, Conan is a hero. He's certainly a hero in terms of popular iconography, and a lot of secondary things like comics and movies has made him out to be more heroic than he is in the original fiction. And so, yeah, I think in a simplistic way, I'm just going to say he's a hero. And if you disagree, I think you're being a little pedantic.
Okay, that was Ray Otis's take.
Again, the dictionary. I should have thought of that. If I had a dictionary here, I would have been. No, I think he's right. It really, the whole idea of like, well, the main character, I get that. Like, okay, then that's kind of the slip the easy way out. But I think I think the Conan does do the right thing in the end, the right thing, and often at self-sacrifice. But he also believes he's from a different time, if you want to look at it that way, right? We're a different set of morals or ways of acting are the norm. So you also have to consider that, right? Like if you're in his time, he's not out of place, I guess, is, you know, because like the expansionistic thing, like I could definitely see a modern take on that would think, well, yeah, well, of course he shouldn't be going in these places just raiding villages and stuff. That's not cool. He's part of raiding gangs and stuff. But that doesn't, you know, just because you do something that's not heroic doesn't mean you're not a hero.
Right.
I think it's a balance thing, right? It's like at some point you are more than you're not, I think is where I would go there. Yeah. And oftentimes which is, you know, of course, maybe not the best worldview, but yeah, it, usually who he's doing negative things against, he doesn't look at as worthwhile of his time, I guess, for lack of a better word. He's raiding these kingdoms that he doesn't think are good, effectively, you know?
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So that's where if your worldview doesn't meet his, yeah, of course, right? I mean, it's,
and that's where we get into.
That's an interesting conversation too. Is like, would he be a role model for today? You know, I think that would be harder to say yes to that than is he a hero, if that makes sense, right? But I think that there's certainly a lot of things that Conan does that we maybe wouldn't have heroic figures do. Although, you know, like we've talked about this before, like I like Spider-Man. This is another side quest, because Spider-Man never kills anybody. He goes out of his way to make sure he doesn't do that. And there was a time in the 90s where that was up in the air. Like Spider-Man was going to kill somebody. It was like a whole thing. I don't think it ever happened. And I stopped reading the comics. I was like, I don't want to read Spider-Man where he kills people. He's not a hero to me if he kills people, because his whole thing is he doesn't do that. It's part of his heroic nature. Whereas some people might consider, I don't know, Deadpool a hero, right? Mm-hmm. Deadpool kills people, and, you know, to a certain extent, I'm assuming. I don't really read Deadpool, but I get that that's part of his thing, right? That's part of his shtick. You know, but somebody like the Punisher is not a hero. The Punisher is a crappy person. He's certainly not a hero, because the Punisher is 100% doing it. Revenge is not the best, you know, this is my opinion. You know, so certain people are doing heroic things. Yeah, he's killing bad guys, but he's not doing it in a heroic way. And right. I think Conan, it might fall into that category more to some people, I guess, if that makes sense. Like the Punisher living in Conan's time, if that was a time, would be more heroic than he is living in our time, in my opinion.
Right. Well, no, it does. And, you know, it's interesting. So the Punisher, you know, they argue, oh, they were developed at the same time. But, you know, Mac Bolan, the Executioner, Don Pendleton's character of Men's Adventure novels, does predate the Punisher a little bit. But with Mac Bolan, it was the exact same origin story, you know, family killed by the mob. Vietnam vet comes back. He declares war on the mob. In fact, the first book is War on the Mafia, I think. And so he goes, I don't know, 80 novels or 100 novels where he's just wiping out the mafia, traveling all over the world doing the revenge, right? But eventually they updated that character to where he was working by the 80s during the Reagan era. He was working for the U.S. government. He was a, you know, an agent for the U.S. government going out attacking terrorists and things. Where it moved him past the revenge thing to almost more like a Jack Bauer kind of character, right? That kind of thing. So
right, yeah, and I think that right, the revenge becomes a shallow goal when it just keeps going. Like I think at some point that's the arc, right? That you should, and this is why now we'll get a lot of people to call in and say Daniel doesn't like the Punisher, so because I know he's popular, but I never got that. Like I was just like, this person is just a murderer, basically. And wasn't he a bad guy at first? He's like another one of those ones that like Venom, right? It started out as basically a bad guy, right? And then it was like, well, no, people like him, so let's twist his story so it becomes more heroic, I guess, in some people's eyes. But
right, yeah, he first appeared in a Spider-Man comic where he was supposed to try to kill Spider-Man. That was his,
yeah. So that yeah, so I think so. I guess right. So worldview and like setup is a big part of it, right? Like I don't know that I would, if I was talking about the ideal hero in today's world, that Conan would be that, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think in his time and in those stories, you know, accepting all of that fiction, I think it makes him much more heroic. Again, and I think that's how you have to look at them and that stuff. Otherwise, you know, a lot of people wouldn't be heroic.
Right. You know? Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So our last set of calls is from Arlen Walker, live from Pelham's Wasteland. Okay. And Arlen is very well read and he likes to dissect things, which he went a little bit over. I'd ask people send me about 10 minutes worth. We've got about double that from Arlen here. So just buckle in, refresh your coffee. But I don't doubt that there are a lot of good points here. Because like I say, Arlen is very articulate and very well read.
Yeah, Arlen's
so
great.
So I'm really curious to see what he's going to bring to the table.
I legit am going to fill
Jason,
up my coffee.
All right, Jason, so I am calling. Whoop,
sorry about that. Go ahead.
Oh, I said I legit am going to fill up my coffee. He's going to go for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So that may disappear for a second, but I can hear.
Okay, good deal.
All right, Jason, so I am calling in about the question of whether or not Conan the Barbarian is heroic. I would say that I think on the whole, the kind of summation of behaviors is one that is heroic, although I think it is obviously complicated. I'm going to use essentially several kind of definitions of heroism to talk about it. The first one being heroic in the sense of like the way that Greek mythological heroes are heroic, which has very little kind of moral component generally, and is much more about being kind of, you know, greater than mere mortals, right? Closer to the gods than mortals. And I think Conan absolutely fits that, right? He is very capable, very powerful, a really excellent fighter, all of that sort of stuff, and is definitely, you know, like that beyond. The next definition I would use to talk about heroism is a sort of idea of heroism as a decision, right? That being heroic, right? The sort of idea of, you know, everyone feels fear, but only some people choose to kind of behave in a courageous way despite feeling fear, sort of thing. And I think Conan fits that definition fairly well. He does, in certain circumstances, he will run from fights that he can't win and things like that, certainly in the Howard stories, not quite as much in some of the other stuff. But I think he does fit that. I mean, he regularly will take on, you know, monstrous beings that he doesn't kind of necessarily know all of what they can do, but understands that they're a pretty serious threat and seems to, associated with that, have a sense of the way that his taking on those monstrous things is useful to people around. I don't know that he puts it in kind of explicitly altruistic terms very much, but he does seem to have a sense of like, you know, this is something that I can't just let this, you know, weird eldritch demon or whatever go wandering around because nobody else can deal with it, right? That I'm in a position where I have a chance of driving it off, and you know, if I just let it go, that's going to be kind of the bad for a whole lot of other people. And that sort of gets into the sort of third definition of heroism, of kind of doing heroic things sort of independent of desire or will, right? The idea of, you know, a sort of heroic automaton, like, you know, Percival the Knight or C-3PO or something like that. You get what I'm trying to say, right? The idea that you don't necessarily have to decide to do something heroic in order to do something that kind of qualifies as heroic, right? The idea that, you know, you don't necessarily know the consequences of your actions, but doing something that has good consequences is inherently heroic. I think under all three of those definitions, Conan qualifies as heroic. I think the big issue with Conan's heroism has to do with what I would describe as the sort of texture of the stories, if that makes sense, that I think in a lot of the kind of, you know, grand accomplishments, Conan is really, you know, meant to be understood in a heroic way, right? That he does these kind of, you know, he kind of revitalizes Aquilonia as a kingdom. And that's like a really big deal, right? Because that's, you know, Aquilonia turns out to be basically like the sort of bastion of the West against the barbarism of the Picts. And so Conan kind of holds off the destruction of Western civilization as Howard understands it in the Hyborian Age for at least a generation, maybe more, and that's a big deal. But at the same time that Conan, in the kind of small actions, right, in doing the kind of, you know, interaction with individuals sort of stuff, often is much less altruistic, much less empathetic, and that I think kind of comes across as unheroic, right? That, you know, Conan, I don't remember which story it is, but it's the one where his friend has been, is it the God in the Bowl, maybe? I don't remember, but that his friend has been executed by the town guard, and Conan ends up basically like abusing the girl, the friend's girl, and like tosses her into, you know, like a literal shit heap. And that obviously that, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that that story has, or that element of that story at least has a pretty solid element of misogyny mixed in with all of the other kind of casual violence and things like that. I don't know that that should take away from our understanding of Conan as heroic. I think it would be better or more accurate to say that it should temper our understanding of Conan as heroic, that I think Conan can have done these kind of major sort of heroic world historical things, the way you might describe it in a almost like Hegelian dialectic terms, while also recognizing that he's probably not the sort of person that you would necessarily want to be around all the time. But I think that's a thing that a whole lot of other heroes have going on. I know that I am over the 5 minutes that you asked for, but I guess I will just kind of end by saying I think that that's not an uncommon thing when you kind of get down to it, that, you know, you look at, for instance, like Aragorn in The Lord of the Rings. In Bree, nobody really wants to be his friend, right? He's got a couple of friends, but most people are like, he's kind of like, you know, he's sort of weird and rough and not very nice and all that sort of stuff. And of course, we know that that is in part a, you know, by design, but the sort of point being that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily want to be friends with Aragorn the Ranger, even though it is useful to have him defending the borders of Eriador as the chief of the Dúnedain. Or, you know, John Wayne's characters in lots of his movies as this kind of, you know, rough and tumble Western gunfighter who is useful but doesn't necessarily belong kind of within the sort of settled community the way that some of the other people do. Thinking especially of the Searchers and John Wayne's character, you know, standing in the doorway as it closes, and the sort of symbolic element of, you know, he's necessary for the functioning of that civilization, but simultaneously does not necessarily belong in that. And I think that, I guess what I would say is that I think Conan fits that very well. And I think that also is something that we see in real life regularly, not to get too political. I don't remember who it was. It might've been Gore Vidal who was talking about Richard Nixon and basically saying that like Nixon was like a really, you know, bad person in a lot of ways, but that you kind of don't want a good person to be president, right? That if you have a good person to be president, you'll get taken advantage of, basically, is his point. I don't remember necessarily if that... No, it was Hunter S. Thompson, not Gore Vidal. I don't know why I thought Gore Vidal for a second, although it's probably just because I had Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas next to Gore Vidal's Julian on my bookshelf at one time. But anyway, the point being basically Hunter S. Thompson, I'm fairly certain it was him, basically saying, look, that, you know, not necessarily like a good person. I think we can all agree that Richard Nixon was very much not a good person, but that also you know, being a good person is not the same thing as being a good president, that you sort of, you know, you want somebody who has at least a streak of, you know, that kind of not very nice element in them. You know, you think about, for instance, like, you know, LBJ and the Great Society, and LBJ was very much, you know, like Richard Nixon, not a good person, but also passed the Civil Rights Act. So, you know. Anyway, sorry if that got too political for your show. I guess what I would sort of close with, even though I'm at basically twice the amount of time that you said that I had, but whatever, you can, you know, download my messages and string them together and play them at 2x speed so that it's 5 minutes instead of 10 minutes. Basically, what I would say is I think Conan does qualify as heroic. Certainly, I think that Robert E. Howard intends us to think of Conan as heroic, that his model of what it means to be heroic is a little different than kind of our a model that we often have nowadays that sort of emphasizes what I would describe as a more emphasis on the idea of being like a, you know, an empathetic, kind person, rather than having this kind of sense of what in other periods they might call heroic stature, that is very much what Conan brings to the table.
Okay. Some very good points there.
It's an interesting, like, Arlen kind of said what I said right there, like the same kind of thing, which is good. I like that one, like, well, I like when everybody doesn't attack me. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's cool when you had this conversation and a lot of people come to the same conclusion, right? That mm-hmm. he's not necessarily a nice person, but that's not the same thing as being a hero or not. And I actually really like the idea of the heroic outsider. Like, that's very interesting how Arlen brought that up. I think that's actually very, very, very much a thing, right? Like, sometimes the person that you need is not necessarily the person you want to be with, right, in that moment to do the heroic thing, right, that's going to do it.
Well,
sometimes
right.
they are.
And you look at that time period, you know, when Howard was writing, and he wrote Westerns and things too, yeah. And that wasn't, you know, and we look in Westerns, and that's not uncommon. He brings up, you know, how, you know, The Searchers, right, which is a great movie. But look at True Grit. If you haven't read True Grit, folks, go out and read True Grit. Your library should have it. The book, of course, is by Charles Portis, 68 novel. But your main character in True Grit, and it doesn't matter whether you watch the John Wayne version or you watch where the new one with Jeff Bridges is Rooster Cogburn. Rooster Cogburn is a hero. Marshall Rooster Cogburn is a hero, but he's not a traditional hero at all,
right,
in that. You know what I mean? And I think, just like Conan, you know, he does the right thing, but when you look at him objectively, is he a good person? Well, he does some good things, but he has a lot of bad qualities, right?
Sure. I mean, having bad qualities doesn't mean you don't do good things. I guess that's part of the... Well, what's actually really interesting, though, is you made the point, Arlo made the point of saying that, you know, we think of heroes more empathetic, but then I just started thinking about the various different heroes, and I don't know that's actually true. I think that we want to say that we do, but if we look at especially we're talking about fantasy and superheroic stuff, I'm just thinking that most of those people are jerks. You know, again, very few. Iron Man's kind of, you know, not a very nice person, right, but a hero. Captain America's a little uptight, right? What is it? Black Widow's like an assassin, right? I mean, so a lot of these people that are in these Marvel movies, which are probably the heroes we're looking at a lot now, aren't necessarily empathetic or nice, actually. So it's interesting that heroes are often drawn that way as outsiders. So, yeah. You know, but I mean, I think they're definitely more empathetic and nice than Conan, which is kind of what I was saying, right? It's all about the time period and that kind of thing. Like, and the people like Deadpool and the Punisher and stuff like that, even Daredevil. I mean, again, who doesn't really kill people, but Daredevil is, you know, he beats the crap out of people and he's very violent and very purposefully violent.
Yeah, definitely. And we look at the contemporaries of Conan and, you know, you're not that there weren't heroes, but even the heroes, the more, you know, white knight kind of, you know, white hat heroes back then, had a darker edge. I mean, you look at the pulps and you look at the Shadow or the Spider or, you know, even Doc Batman. Savage. I mean, Doc Savage is probably the closest to White Knight of any of those, I would argue. But yeah, I mean, you know, for the most part, they all killed and, you know, did all these violent things too.
Right. So. It was just part of what they felt like they needed to do ultimately to for the ultimate good or whatever the what they believe was right. So
yeah.
I think that everybody's points. I mean I would say that I'm not swayed. Nobody swayed that Conan wasn't a hero. I was waiting for somebody to say he wasn't.
Well, right. And the closest we have are the comments from the Discord opening of the show, which I'm not discounting those, but to be fair, you can't view Conan by it depends what light you view him at. If you view him as part of his world and his society, and not by our values, but the values of that world and that society, and then which I know Joe's going to call back, oh, well, a racist is always a racist. Okay. But you view Conan in his world by his world's rules, and he very definitely is a hero. You know, Red Sonja. Red Sonja, now obviously it's a character more developed in comics and things like that, but, you know, same kind of thing. You know, it's not like, you know, most of these characters in Sword and Sorcery, you have to, let's think of most Sword and Sorcery, you don't have white knights in that genre. It just doesn't exist.
So, part of it, right? Like, Far from the Grey Mouse, or right? Would you have like the, I guess slightly later contemporary, right? But kind of almost the opposite, because they're much more city bound, right? They're a mm-hmm. different kind of adventurer than Conan. They're not barbarians, right? They're from the city, but they're also thieves, and you know, they get in fights all the time, and they try to get money all the time, and they're doing the things that you might not consider, you know, good in society. But yet, in the end, again, they will do the right thing, and when they need to. And I think it was sometimes they do the only ones that can do it, and they do it. They'll risk it.
You broke up there. You're breaking up. Try that again.
Yeah. Sometimes they. Sorry. Am I back?
Okay. You're back.
Yeah, sometimes they do it because they realize or they think they're the only ones that can do it, and that's heroic. You could look and say, well, there's this, whatever. I mean, taking it out of those stories, there's this house that's on fire. You might get hurt putting out the fire, but nobody else here, you know, there's an old lady in there, right? She's not going to get out by herself. You might not be the nicest person in the world, but if you go in there and you pull her out, that's heroic, whether you're a jerk or not in life, right? You made that choice to put yourself at risk for what is basically the right thing to do, which is to help somebody. And I think Conan does that a lot, you know?
Right.
So that's why I think, you know, in balance, I would say he's heroic, but he's definitely sure. Does he do some questionable things? Yes, for sure.
Yeah, there's a difference between a hero and a role model, right?
Right.
Look at let's take Army of Darkness, right? Ash Williams. I assume you've seen that, the third Evil Dead movie. The Ash is not Bruce Campbell's character. Right. Is he a hero? Does he step up to, you know, he just wants to get home, but he is a hero in that movie. He's not necessarily, right. a great role model in that movie, but he is a hero. You know, ultimately when it comes down to it. So,
right. Like the hero is the person that like you're running from the zombies, right? And you're with somebody. The non-hero is the person that lets the person that's with you get eaten by the zombies, you know, right. Even because they're slower than you are. The joke that I make, you only have to be faster than the other player, you know, or the other character. But the hero is the one that will stay with you and try to fight as long as they can. I mean, they're not necessarily going to die, but if it becomes a helpless situation, they might have to leave you. They're certainly not going to want to, you know, they're going to stay even if they're really out there for themselves. I just want to get home, but I'm not going to let this person get eaten. Whereas I think it actually happened in one of the Walking Dead where like they were running from a zombie and somebody turned around and shot one of the other people in the leg. So the zombies would eat them and they'd get away. Like that's not a hero. Right. But you don't just have to charge into the zombies either to be the hero. You just have to be the person that does the thing that's, you know, you don't have to be foolish. Yeah.
Right. Definitely. Cool. Well, thank you so much. Hopefully this help Joe out. Hopefully this answers his question. I'm sure he'll let us know. Joe's not shy. Joe Rick.
Yeah, I'm hoping that somebody will hear this and then think have an argument that he's not, because I'd be curious like how you would argue against what seems to be a pretty ironclad, you know, dictionary usage.
Right. And I'm happy to have anybody on the show. Yeah. If we can coordinate the schedules, you know, you can come on and argue your case, or if you just want to send calls in, you can do that. You can send me messages as long as it works. You can use the Anchor app, but you can go to the episode website, or I'm sorry, the podcast website, and leave a message there. You can send an email to nerdsrpgvarietycast@gmail.com. If you play it on the air, if you attach an audio file to it, I'll play it on the air and make you famous. Or you can reach out to me on a variety of discords. So, yeah, if you have any comments on anything said today, please reach out to me. I love to get your listener feedback. And if somebody wants to come on the air and talk about this, you know, you're definitely welcome. We'll coordinate it, make it happen. So thank you, Daniel, for coming on again. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay. And I'll see you around the gaming table. Take care.
I don't know why I waved. It's not like they can see me.
That's okay.
Your auntie or a joke about your spouse, but the operator's screaming it's coming from inside the house. What's in the box? What's in the box? What's in the box? What's in the box? Well, the audience is pretty sure he took a pretty head, and the only question left is if I could shoot him dead. Bring on the gore, bring on the gore. Is a dice playing in Moyle's by a tipper, and I'm assuming that your partner back there in the wood chipper. Don't look away, don't look away, don't look away, don't look away. Well, the zombies are arising and the world has gone to heck. We're living for the dying and we're dying for the train wreck.